You're listening to Current State. The Lansing Symphony Orchestra starts a new season tomorrow night. Current State's Melissa Benmark joins us with more. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Mark. It's an all George Gershwin concert, a couple of concertos and rhapsodies and some lesser known things. Like I usually do before Lansing Symphony concerts, I talked to conductor Timothy Muffet about the program. We'll hear from him in just a second. But first, I got to talk to pianist Ralph Fotopek, who's going to be pretty busy at this concert. I asked him what kind of physical preparation it takes for a concert like this.
Well, I would say it would equal about one Brahms concerto, or maybe, but not as much as Rachmaninoff Third. So actually in the Gershwin works, except for the Rhapsody in Blue, there's a lot of orchestral playing where I'm not playing at all. And anytime you're on stage playing, it's a mental challenge, but this is not a physical challenge. Playing Gershwin is not a physical challenge. And two of the works I've played since I was a teenager, so it goes back a long way.
What is your relationship to this composer?
I didn't know him.
in terms of playing his music.
He was born 2 years before. I was born 2 years after he died. So, but I heard Oscar Levant live once, and as a teenager, I listened to Levant's recording of the concerto and the Rhapsody in Blue, and I played it over and over and over, and somehow I always think that, in a sense, he was my mentor. He was, you know, the Gershwin pianist in the 40s and 50s, and he was a good friend of Gershwin. And he was not the greatest pianist in the world, but he was the greatest. He knew the style, and that was a big help for me. Because when I was in high school, I wanted to play Gershwin, but my teacher, who was very serious, considered Gershwin cheap, and actually forbade me to play any Gershwin. Not that there was a lot to play. I mean, really, he only wrote three preludes and a few little ditties that are not very important. But then, of course, there's the concerto, which is great, and the Rhapsody in Blue, and then two other works on the program, which are not as often heard and deserve to be heard.
So you were told you couldn't play Gershwin. Do you almost feel like you're getting away with something when you get to play it now?
No. Times have changed. But even in college, when I... At my first lesson, I told my teacher I had to play the Rhapsody in Blue in 6 weeks with the Milwaukee Pops. This was a result of winning a competition, and that the conductor was going to be Paul Whiteman. And he kind of rolled his eyes and said, well, I guess you'll have to play the Rhapsody in Blue. And he gave me one very good lesson, and that's the only lesson I've ever had from a teacher on Gershwin.
Wow.
But I've always loved the music. I loved the songs. And a little bit later, I... discovered there was such a thing as the Gershwin Songbook, which contained 18 short piano arrangements of some of his best songs, which I've recorded. And I wish there was more, actually, but that's it. Oh, thanks to Earl Wilde. He's made some marvelous transcriptions of Porgy and Bess and some of the songs, which are very difficult, and I've enjoyed playing those.
Talk about the second Rhapsody. Why do you think it's not performed as much as the other Gershwin works, even on this program?
Yeah, it's like saying, why isn't the Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto No. 2 not performed? Because it's a wonderful piece, but it's just usurped by the Tchaikovsky No. 1. And so people hear the Rhapsody in Blue all the time, snatches of it, and they don't consider it. And maybe it doesn't have the memorable tunes, although it has one very beautiful tune, and he makes a lot of use out of a repeated note motif, which is stated right at the beginning. And it's, harmonically, I'd say it's a little more advanced than the concerto or the Rhapsody in Blue. And it's a later work, and Gershwin was already a master of orchestration. It's a fine piece. It's in little bits, you know. There's a tango, there's a march, there's whole tone passage. There's maybe one climax too many, but it's a fine piece. It's 15 minutes. I don't think it taxes the listener. It doesn't tax the pianist, really, because it's sometimes referred to as Second Rhapsody for Orchestra with Piano.
Well, Mr. Ralph Fotopek, thank you very much for joining us.
Good to be here again.
Timothy Muffet, you don't usually have a program where all the works are by a single composer. Why now and why Gershwin?
This all came about from a letter that Ralph sent me, and it was an actual letter, the kind that's delivered through the mail.
I remember those.
Yes, and he said, what would you think about this program? And, I mean, it's spectacular. The program has all of the elements of a successful concert program, in my mind. It has, first of all, a great potential for audience appeal and attracting an audience. We have that not only in the composer, but also in an artist like Ralph Fotopec. It has familiar works, works that a potential audience member is going to say, yeah, I'm familiar with that music. And then it also has works that are probably going to be a fresh experience for the audience member. Works that they have not heard live before, and probably many of them have not heard recorded before. And then also as an American orchestra, I think it's great when we play American music. That's just kind of a foundational element to our philosophy in the Lansing Symphony. So all of the, I feel like all of the stars are aligned here.
I feel with Gershwin sometimes like there are two Gershwins. There's the I Got Rhythm Gershwin, the very bouncy, outward Gershwin. And then in some of the slower passages, you know, perhaps of the concerto in F or that kind of thing, a real introspective. How do you reconcile right. those two parts of him?
Well, those are really great observations because that's exactly, that is the expressive span of this composer. And that's also the expressive span of this concert. I mean, it touches on all sides of Gershwin. You know, I come at it very much the way I would come at Dvorak or Bartok or Kodály or any of these composers for whom the music of their homeland was the foundation for what they wrote. And it's interesting, you know, now we're coming at Gershwin now in the 21st century. And so this music no longer sounds like the popular music of today. In fact, it doesn't even sound like the jazz of today.
Right.
So we're seeing, I think we were, at least I am, able to kind of see Gershwin through a different perspective, a little bit more historically removed. So rather than feeling like this is pop music that has been put into concert format, this is just Gershwin writing concert music that was based on the music that was in the air in America during his time. So it makes that challenge that you brought up in your question way easier because we are able to come at this music from a distance now.
Timothy Muffet, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.
And be aware, WKAR classical host Jody Knoll will host a preview conversation before the LSO's Gershwin program tomorrow night. That will be at 7:15 in the Jackson National Lounge. He'll be discussing the evening's pieces as well as interviewing guest pianist Ralph Fotopec.